We're continuing the series on when you just can't get over it. I hope these Bible lessons have been a challenge and a help to you. And if you've missed any of them, they are on our website. You can find them at anchoredinjesus.com, and it will direct you where to go from there. Each of these lessons have lasted 1 week, and I honestly, I'm not sure if today's is going to last 1 week or 2 weeks. There's a lot of material on this lesson, and it's obviously a very, I guess, it could be a very sensitive topic to talk about from God's Word, and or in our, again, when we relate, as we relate to our everyday life, and it's a word that, it's a topic that has become maybe a little bit more prevalent as years have gone by. Possibly even in the last year, it has become more of a problem, and that is rising above depression. Rising above depression is our lesson today, and I'm well aware of how it is can happen to a believer. Okay, depression is not just, you know, if you're saved, you'll never get depressed. That's a bunch of hogwash, for one thing. Don't believe that for a minute, because that's not true. And but we can rise above it. We don't need to swim in it. Let's rise above it. Let's get out of it. If we're in it today, what does God's Word say about it and how we can rise above it? And so I'm thankful that we have an answer. God's Word has an answer, and that's what we're going to even on this Lord's Day. Psalm 77, verse number 3, God's Word says, I remembered God and was troubled. Isn't that something? I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Have you ever been there before? I can't even put it into words. Well, that's where Asaph is right here. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Now here comes some rapid-fire questions. We'll look at these later, God willing. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And we'll stop right there. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you would continue to help us in this hour, in this very important subject today, that we would be willing to see what your word has to say about how we can rise above depression. We need your help, Father. Holy Spirit of God, we need to be filled with you as the speaker and the listener alike. Hide us behind the cross, Lord, and help us to gain something from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. A famous Christian psychologist who was interviewed once on a Christian radio program. The host asked the Christian psychologist, how do you feel about telling a child he shouldn't do something because the Bible says he shouldn't do it? The psychologist replied, well, I have mixed emotions about that. I'm a little nervous about using the Bible as a club to beat people over the head. Well, in one way, I agree with the psychologist that we don't want to use the Bible as a club to beat people over the head. But on the other hand, to refer to the plain teaching of the scriptures, the commands, the warnings, the instructions, as somehow being repressive to people is where we must draw the line. We must determine anew and afresh what our fixed point of reference is in every area of our life. And I hope and pray that today, whether you're watching live or later, that you know that God's Word is your fixed point of reference. And that God's Word is where you can find healing and hope and encouragement and strength and joy and whatever it is that you might be lacking on this particular day. God's Word. It is vital that we function in and around God's Word. I will say this, to the extent that psychiatry and psychology are consistent with the Word of God, they can be helpful. But again, we cannot eliminate the Word of God from that statement. And I would like to say right at the beginning today, I am not a doctor. I am not a psychologist. I am not I don't know anything about it when it comes to the medical side of things. But I know, again, that God has given us in His Word, God has given us the ability to rise above whatever it is that is in your life if we would wholeheartedly practice the teaching of the Word of God. I will say this, be very careful. Be very careful. If you're getting counsel today from a secular counselor, listen to this. If you're getting counsel today from a secular counselor about depression, you need to be very, very careful. Because typically, and I'm going to also say that when it comes to, this is why I don't think we're going to get through this, all right, in 1 week. I'm going to say this, that I don't believe that it's wrong for some people to be taking medication. We've got to have a middle of the road here. We can't be so bullheaded that, oh, if you're taking medication, then you're not right with God. No. But on the other hand, I'm going to take every medication that my psychologist tells me to take. Time out on that one, too. Okay? So, and by the way, I know of some really good, one in particular, really good Christian who goes to the Scriptures, counselor that has helped, not me personally, but friends of mine, that I would wholeheartedly recommend that if you need help in that way, let me know. Okay? And so the proper approach to counseling when it comes to this area is to not start with psychology and then add Scripture. No. It's start with Scripture. Always start with Scripture and go from there. Everything must have a foundation on God's Word. Everything must have a foundation of God's Word. And by the way, the Bible has much to say about this topic. In fact, what we just read from Psalm 77, to me, if you were reading it and really paying attention, I'm sure you were, I think here's someone in that wrote part of the Bible that was dealing with depression. I mean, you can't help but read his writing and think, here's someone that is discouraged, depressed, and needs help. Now, his psalm, what we read, verses 3 to 9, okay? Verses 3 to 9, reading that, the tone of that those verses is a tone of hopelessness. I mean, all those questions that are in there. You know, I'm singing at night, okay? Nothing wrong with that. That's probably the best time for some of us to sing, at night when everybody's in bed, all right? Sing quietly, though, all right? Don't wake anybody up. But there's a hopeless tone to that. It's like, for me, when I've read it, and I've read it several times, of course, in preparation, but reading it before, it's as if God has forsaken me. God is no longer around, you know? He's not listening anymore. And that's really the tone of the message. And but there's hope even within Psalm 77. And so we'll see how far we get into this. But let's look at the outline today. If you have the book, also I believe we're going to have some notes come up for you today in the Sunday school hour, in this Bible teaching hour. If you're taking notes at home without the book, this will help you maybe to break them down. And so number one, expressions of depression. Expressions of depression, all right? What is it that begins to show itself when we're struggling with depression? All right, let's look at this. We're going to look at it right from God's word, all right? Number one, inability to sleep. Inability to sleep. Depression is not just an attack, if you will, mentally. Depression will definitely have a great effect physically. And you know, some people that are going through depression are completely and utterly exhausted, and yet their mind is continuing to churn. You know what that means? Not butter, all right? Their mind is continuing to think about this and think about that and think about this and think about that. And because their mind is continuing to worry and fear and worry and fear, the body is saying, hey, stop worrying, stop fearing, I need some rest. But the mind is saying, no, I got to keep thinking about this. I got to keep thinking about this. And unfortunately, it keeps the body up when the body is saying, I need some shut-eye. And this is a sign of depression. Look at verse 4 of our text. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. That's exactly what that means. My thoughts are holding my eyes open, you know. Have you ever seen those cartoons with the toothpicks in the eyeballs, you know? That's exactly what's happening, only there's no toothpick. By the way, I'm not trying to make fun of depression, but I'm trying to make a little bit lightness to it, to some of this, because it's not a very light subject. It's real. It's debilitating. Okay? Somewhere along the line, though, we've got to say, look, even in the midst of some very deep, dark times, we've got to see the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay? So forgive me if my humor is out of place, but it's not to be making light to it. It's just that, this is a heavy topic, and I don't want to bury you in this Bible teaching hour too much, all right? But lack of sleep. I think we're all following along, though. What happens when we don't get the rest that we need? Well, it changes our appearance. It makes our emotions even more on edge. It impairs our judgment. You know, we need to get the rest. Our body needs to rest. And so this is an expression of depression. Letter A is an inability to sleep. And you know, sometimes, you know, we hear somebody say, just give your problems to the Lord. That's good advice. In fact, that's the right advice. But it's easier said than done. Because we have a flesh that doesn't necessarily completely trust God. I've given God 7 of the 10 things that I'm worried about, but there's 3 of them that I'm holding on to. You know what that's going to lead to? That's going to lead to depression. That's going to lead to no rest. Number 2, or letter B, inarticulate speech. Inarticulate speech. So sleeping is a problem, but then we can't even put into words, because of the depression, we can't even put into words what is going on in our heart. Look at verse number 4 again. He said, I'm so troubled and I cannot speak. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. You ever had someone say that? Or maybe you've said this to someone. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying that you've heard this say, I'm not sure I can explain it to you. Or this, you would say this, and on top of that, or if you'd even understand. Depression can become so ingrained into my mind and into my heart that there's no way that I can even put into words what's going on. This is an expression of depression. Letter C, incorrect sight. Incorrect sight. Okay? When you're going through depression, you're going to see life in a completely different way than you should be seeing life. It messes up your vision. I'm not talking about literally your vision. I'm talking about the fact that it doesn't matter if there's no clouds in the sky, the sun is out, it's 20 degrees out, and it's just the absolute picture-perfect day, you can find something to complain about. Because your sight is messed up. My sight is messed up. Look at verse number 5. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. What is this saying? It's depression clouds my vision of the past. If you're saved today, your past includes your salvation, right? If you're saved today, that means your salvation is in the past. Are you following me? All right. If you're not saved, your salvation is still coming, God willing, all right? But if you're saved, then you can go back somewhere in your past. Maybe it was last week. Maybe it was last month. Maybe it was 10 years ago. Maybe it was 40 years ago. Somewhere in your past, you can go back to a place in your life when you were on the road to hell and the grace of God was extended to you and you put your faith and trust in Christ and you got saved. Don't let the enemy cloud the view of what God has done in your past. Yes, I know there is much of our past that we want to forget and we should put behind us, but there are so many things that God has done in your life and my life that if we get into this vicious cycle and we're not sleeping and we don't know how to put it into words, there's going to come a time where we even forget all the goodness of God. Because our vision is going to be clouded in the current events of the day, in the lies of the devil. Remember, the devil is a liar. So he's going to try to convince you that God is on vacation in your life. You're the first person ever that God took a vacation from. God doesn't take vacations. He neither slumbers nor sleeps, the Bible tells us. That means even when you can't sleep at night, God's there. He's there ready to hear from you, ready to hear from me. Incorrect sight. Not only does depression give us a problem with sight in the past, but it also gives us a problem with sight in the future. My past is, I can't see anything good about my past and anything good about the days of old and the ancient times, but also convincing us that there is no hope for the future. I tell you, I want to submit to you this morning to make sure that your vision isn't always on the past and isn't always on the future. No, let's look upward. Look upward. What do you mean? Look to Jesus. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the bright and morning star. He is the great shepherd. He is our all-sufficient one. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the first and the last. He's everything that we need. And oh, how we ought to love Him, as we sang earlier. And yes, there will come a day where we'll understand it better by and by. But now, as other preachers have said, we're living in the nasty now and now. But that doesn't mean we can't put a smile on our face and keep our eyes looking to the Lord, knowing that He has something in store every day for us to draw us closer to Him. But it does. Depression can be so damaging to our sleep, to our speech, to our sight. By the way, if you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. I'm just kidding. If you're saved and you know it, the best is yet to come. Have you read Revelation yet? Get and read Revelation. You know, we met somebody yesterday on the SkyTrain, a gentleman. We didn't get his name. We were praying for him. We prayed for him this morning in our men's prayer meeting. But we met someone yesterday on the SkyTrain. First time I'd been on the SkyTrain in like 13 months, I think, was yesterday. And I don't know why. But anyway, got on it yesterday. And this gentleman said to myself and Pastor Nathan, he said, yep, I started reading the Bible in the last year. Hello. I'm all alone. I've got sciatica. This and that. He was standing on the train. What started it was when he was on the train, I was seated, and he was kind of trying to get to his seat, you know, and it took off. It doesn't take off that fast, but, you know, he might have been a little bit older than me, with all due respect. He was probably 20 years older than me, at least. And he started to fall back a little bit, and I just put my hands up, you know, as a reaction. And he didn't hit my hands, but he stayed up, you know, and then he said, thank you. And then we started going. Within just a few seconds, he was stretching because of his sciatica, and he just started talking. Lives by himself, and then about the Bible. And then as we were getting off, Pastor Nathan handed him a gospel tract. I think that's when he said about reading the Bible. I don't think he said it until we gave him that and he realized what it was. And he said, oh, I've been reading my Bible and this and that. And so, folks, the best is yet to come. People are still searching for truth. People are still searching for hope. People are still searching for answers. We who know the Lord have the answer. We who know the Lord have the truth. And yet we heard the other day of people that are living in utter hopelessness. For them, the only way out is to check out. Take their own life. I've known some Christians that got to that point too. You say, Pastor, how can a Christian be in heaven if they committed suicide? Well, nowhere in the Bible does it say anything about going to hell if you commit suicide. When you find it, you won't. So don't even look for it, but you can. You can look for it if you want. You aren't going to find it. You're going to go to hell. Somebody's going to go to hell because they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And basically what that means is to reject the message of the gospel. Suicide is a sin. Very serious one, yes. Not that any other sin isn't, but I think you know what I'm saying. So today, I don't know who I'm talking to. You might be a Christian and you're in deep depression right now. Would you reach out to me? I don't have all the answers, but I'd like to help. When you think there's no way out except this, it's the lie of the devil. It's the lie of the devil. I'm talking about, I know of pastors. Pastors. Taking their own life. That's why I say it's not a light subject. And I don't know that every one of those pastors were in depression, but I know it's happened because of depression. Some I've known personally. I've had meals with them. Others I've read about. Very sad. And I'm going to say something, but I don't mean to be selfish, but you must remember to pray for your pastor and pastors. So, this inability to sleep, this inarticulate speech, this incorrect sight. By the way, the best is yet to come for born-again believers. I want to just pause and ask you a question right now. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You're watching online. Now's the time to put a big amen in that comment section with all caps, which I guess it means shouting or something. If you are saved, now's the time to put a big PTL in there, all right? That means praise the Lord, by the way. I'll teach you a few things about it. Now's the time. Put a big smiley face in there. Do you know the Lord? You see, if you don't know the Lord, I want to lovingly say the best is not yet to come for you. The worst is yet to come for you if you're not saved. I don't say that condemningly. I say that to let you know that Jesus Christ loves you. And Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for your sin. He died and was buried and rose again, conquering everything that needed to be conquered so that you, sir, and you, ma'am, could be saved. Do you know him? Letter D. Letter D. What is a expression of depression? Letter D is an inward searching. An inward searching. This is one that I was thinking about much. We become our own counselors. It's funny, but it's not funny. You know, we start setting up an appointment with ourselves. By the way, we can be our own counselors as long as we're using God's word. God's word will counsel you. Amen? God's word will meet the need. But if we're constantly asking ourselves for the answer and looking within ourselves for the answer, we're going to be sorely disappointed. Asaph said in verse 6, the end of verse 6, I commune with mine own heart. I commune with mine own heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so I don't want my heart to be my counselor. I want God's word to be my counselor. And yet it is difficult to get out of this cycle sometimes. An inward searching. Again, I mentioned it earlier. I've got ahead a little bit, but Hebrews 12:2 is the reference for looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And by the way, there was Asaph found no answer within himself. The answer is not in me. The answer is not in you. If you're constantly looking to yourself, one of two things is going to take place. I don't think this is a part of the outline, but let me just give these to you. One of two things is going to take place. Number one, you're going to convince yourself that you're doing well and become proud. Pride is also very destructive. I got this. Do you? I don't think so. I know sometimes we say that, maybe you've said that before, and it wasn't from a prideful heart, but be careful about realizing that you can do it, because you can't do it, and I can't do it either. So that's the first thought that comes to mind, is become proud, or we see that we're doing so bad, and we become depressed. Man, how can I continue to do this over and over again? We're going inward and inward and inward. But when we look to Jesus and we look to His Word and when we look to the Holy Spirit of God's leading, and then the Holy Spirit of God brings us to places in our Bible where we can get the help that we need, or He brings us to a Christian counselor or the pastor or whoever it may be, and we see that we have a wonderful Savior that isn't just our Savior from hell to heaven, but He wants to give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. And every day with Jesus can be sweeter than the day before. That's our Lord. Look, heaven, hey, look, heaven, salvation, excuse me, is not just a fire insurance policy. It's so much more than that. You can smile at a storm when you're saved. With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. And we just sail right on. It might get choppy. We might get some water in the boat. But He's with us. We're going to the other side. Just like He told the disciples, we're going to the other side. Folks, we're going to the other side. Jesus is with us. We're going to heaven. He's going with us. Might get rocky, might get wet, might get a little nervous. Trust the Lord. Lean not on thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll steer the boat to the other side. That's in the Hebrew. Letter E. Keeping going here. Letter E. What is an expression of depression? There's an inundation of sorrow. Overwhelming sorrow. Look at verse 8. Here it comes. Is His mercy clean gone forever? Now think about that. Let's not pick on Mr. Asaph, Brother Asaph here. Because you've been there before. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that His mercies are new every morning. Lamentations, right? Chapter 3. Great is his faithfulness. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Hey, this book right here's got all kinds of promises in it. If you're a Christian, they're yours. Claim them. Claim them. When the sorrow, you can't just get beyond whatever it is that's bringing the sorrow. Go to the Scriptures. Inundation of sorrow. God's promises and mercy had vanished in his life. But we're glad once again to be reminded that his mercies are new every morning and his promises fail not. Great is his faithfulness. This is why a continual, steady diet of God's word is vital. Yes, there's times when we've got to go to the word of God in an emergency. Right? It's there for emergencies. But better to be continually digesting and processing and meditating on the Word of God on a daily basis every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, so that when that challenge comes, that difficulty comes, we've got some storage to lean on, so to speak. Yes, it's new every morning, and yes, he's there in the very emergencies of life, but let's not wait to the emergencies of life to start praying. Pray now. The sun is shining. Pray now. Bills are paid. Keep praying. Pray now. Good health. Pray now. You know, whatever. Just keep thinking through that. So many times prayer is 911. No, prayer is not 911. Keep praying. So we're looking at the expressions of depression. Letter F. There's an intense stress. The other night, I think it was in the RU meeting. I think in the preaching time, maybe. By the way, if you've never attended one of our RU meetings, I'd like to invite you to be here this Friday night at 7 p.m. here on Wedgwood Street. And it's open to the Anchor Baptist Church family to come as long as you're out of secondary school, so you got to be beyond grade 12 and up. We'd love to have you come. Anyway, Pastor Nathan held up something. I think it was a card. Maybe it was somewhere. I could be referring to something else right now. I don't even remember, but I just remember it had three words on it: stress, stress, stress. And this happens, doesn't it? This is maybe you haven't been able to relate to any of the ones so far, but I think that word probably hits home, doesn't it? Stress. I could just snap out of this, and yet the waves just keep coming. Look at verse 2 of Psalm 77. My soul refused to be comforted. You know, the word depression means to push down. To push down. Depress, right? To push down. The problems that we face can become so large and heavy that we get to a breaking point. We've been pushed down and pushed down and pushed down, and we've allowed this to be added to this and this to be added to that, and on it goes. And now he's at a place where he's saying, literally he's saying, I refuse to be comforted. Think about that. What's he saying? It doesn't matter what you say to me, it isn't going to help. Because it's built up so much that it's got to this point. What's wrong? The problem is, in Asaph's writing here in his life, is he's seeing life as if there is no hope for him. By the way, that's a terrible place to be, thinking that you have no hope. Folks, the hope that we have is not in self. The hope that we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I know I'm going to heaven. I have the hope of heaven because Jesus paid it all. I have the hope of victory because of Jesus' righteousness. You follow me? My hope is not in religion. We met a man yesterday as we were walking away from this event in downtown. I may say more about it in the preaching here in just a little bit. And there was a man standing on the street corner, and he was on a lunch break. I knew this after the fact, but he said, "What's going on over there?" We stopped and talked to him about what was going on over there, and he had a Freedom Mobile, a little commercial for Freedom Mobile. Okay, he had a Freedom Mobile jacket on, and so I said, "Oh, you work for Freedom Mobile, or you just wear the jacket?" You know, trying to make conversation. Turns out he's from Iran. He's been in Canada for X amount of years, and had a little bit of connection to both different sides of Islam, Sunni and Shiite, and was explaining that to us and what he didn't like about one and the other and so forth, and just let him talk. He accepted a gospel track as well. I have his name. I won't mention it because we're on live stream, just because I don't, you know, it's on live stream, but I have his name written down. We're praying for him. About 10 minutes later, we're in somewhere down there. We're trying to find a washroom. Go to the washroom, and I got out a little bit quicker, and I came out, and I stood at the corner. I was waiting on Pastor Nathan. And who walks right by me? Same guy we were just talking to. This is in downtown Vancouver. 2 times in 10 minutes. I said his name. He didn't notice me. I didn't have my mask on, but I had my mask on this time. I said his name. And I said, "You're following me." I said, "I'm just kidding." I said, "It was nice talking to you." Now you tell me, do we not have a sovereign God? We do. Do we not have a God who wants that man to be saved? We do. And we aren't anything, me and Pastor Nathan. We're just sinners saved by grace. But God put us in his path 2 times because God is a God of hope. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, hope is what we need. Hope is what we need. And I'm so glad that we have hope in the Lord. Expressions of depression. Let's start number 2, and that's all we're going to get. We're going to start it, though. Number 2, the causes of depression. The causes of depression. Christians, now you've heard this before. I think I've said it, maybe not quite like this, but you've heard it. Christians should be the most joyful people in all the world. Mark it down. Mark it down. Christians should be the most joyful people in all the world. Turn back or turn ahead, please, to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. We'll just introduce number 2, and then we'll pick it up here next Lord's Day, God willing. Well, I have a lot more room to move here than in my little office at home. I don't know if you could tell or not, but in that office at home where I'm recording from, I'm literally boxed into this little corner. And I mean, if I did about like this or this, over. And that's the one thing I'm depressed about. No, I'm just kidding. Is not being able to run around on Armstrong Avenue. Man, I used to run around all over the place there. Anyway, just kidding. See, you got to smile. We should be the happiest people. And what you know, the best thing to do? Laugh at yourself. Come on. That's when the wife's supposed to say, "Yeah, laugh at yourself. Go look in the mirror, honey. You're a mess, man." And laugh at yourself. It's okay. I mean, that's the wife to the husband. I did not say the husband to the wife, okay? Make sure you don't twist that around, all right? Most joyful people, look at Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Look at this, though. Look at verse 16. Maybe this is why you're in church today, is verse 16. In thy name shall they, what? Rejoice for a day or two. No, that's not what it says. It says, rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Wow. You go to bed tonight, you can rejoice that you're saved on your way to heaven. When you go to bed tonight, you can rejoice that your sins have been forgiven. When you go to bed tonight, or I don't know why I'm talking about bed because it's only 10 o'clock in the morning, but when you have your lunch today in a little bit, you can rejoice that you have food. You can rejoice that your sins are forgiven. You can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. All day, the psalmist said, the Creator God of the universe has said to you and me, I will supply all your need according to my riches. That's God, not me. According to my riches in glory by Christ. Philippians 4:19. Claim that. But my God, is he your God today? If you're saved, you can say, yes, he's my God. As much as he's the God of the Apostle Paul, he's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my shepherd. He's my King. There's nothing too hard for him. I can live another day. Why? Because of his mercy. Because of his goodness. Next week, God willing, we're going to continue this. Possibly we'll see within these verses, and I would encourage you to continue to read this chapter over and over again between now and the Lord's day.